What are some of the other areas of emerging clinical research information that you think are important for surgeons to know in practice?
One of the things we've been talking about a lot at meetings lately is for that subset of patients, unfortunately it's a small subset, that require a mastectomy and not a lumpectomy, what can we do to maximize the cosmetic result for the patients from an oncologically safe perspective? And of course, skin sparing has been around for a decade at this point, and there are multiple studies in the literature showing that skin sparing is oncologically as safe as a non-skin sparing mastectomy in patients that would be essentially anybody short of an inflammatory cancer. Certainly, we get a better cosmetic result for those patients. And as I explain when I often give lectures about this, when I used to talk about skin sparing to my patients, they used to always ask, well, why do you have to take the nipple and the areola? And really the only data that I could give them was old data that looked at the nipple-areola complex. And if you didn't take the nipple-areola complex, then you had a higher chance of having a recurrence in the future. But I began thinking about that. And of course, the nipple and the areola are really very different. The nipple is the convergence of all that ductal tissue from the breast. And the areola is really just a different color of skin that doesn't have ductal glands within it. So I did a study that was published in Annals of Surgery a few years ago where I looked at over 200 patients that had mastectomies and looked at how often is the nipple involved and how often is the areola involved. And what I found actually isn't really surprising. What I found is the nipple's involved pretty often. And even patients that have DCIS have involvement of the nipple with cancer cells. But the areola is almost never involved. It makes sense. It's just really just skin. And what we found was less than 1% of those patients actually had areola involvement, and it was only patients that had very large invasive breast cancers located right behind the areola. So they weren't spreading to the areola, they were growing into the areola. So I've actually modified my skin-sparing mastectomy to be, for many patients, an areola-sparing mastectomy. So I generally make an incision that is around the nipple, keeping the nipple in contact on block with the underlying breast tissue, and then make an incision either just through the areola, if it's a generous-sized areola, or through the areola with a little bit of a lateral extension to it to be able to do the dissection and do whatever needs to be done in the axilla, as well as get the breast out of that shell of skin. So I think that's a very reasonable alternative for patients, for many patients that have breast cancer. Now, some people are also looking at the option of nipple sparing, and I don't favor that for the data that I just mentioned, that fairly significantly there are patients that have nipple involvement when they have breast cancer. If you also look at the data being presented on nipple sparing, the follow-up is very short in these patients. And even looking at Veronese's data, what you're seeing is if you radiate the nipple, you're getting about a 10% nipple necrosis. And I just can't see a lot of advantage of saving the nipple and in 10% of your patient getting necrosis when you could just take the nipple, save the areola, and then do a reconstruction of the nipple if the patient desires to have that done. But honestly, I find that most patients, if you save their areola, they don't really care about the nipple. And if you did save a nipple, it's insensate, it's not erectile, it really is not a very functional nipple for the patient.